Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your choice to be here and worship this morning. I know there are many things you could do on a Sunday morning, but it blesses me by your presence here, and your presence blesses one another. Just a few announcements today. All these can be found in your inserts, and I do encourage you to review them also online at the church website, consciousharmony.org. First of all, there are new classes being offered, and I encourage you to look at them on the insert. Two of them are drop-in available, so if you want to come and go, feel free. Also, the community reading has begun, Thomas Merton's Inner Experience. If you hadn't yet picked this up, it's available at the bookstore today after service, also elsewhere. We do still have spots available for the Lenten 10-day centering prayer retreat. So if you sense a real hunger to take rest with God, take retreat, especially during Lent, this is a tremendous opportunity that spots are still available. Regarding centering prayer in our community, I'd like to let you know to mark your calendar for March 17th. That's a Saturday. It's the Worldwide Annual Contemplative Outreach United in Prayer Day. And this is what we're invited to by the Heart of Texas Contemplative Outreach, a day of centering prayer, fellowship, and silence at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Details can be found at the website address in your bulletin, or David Wallace, one of the co-coordinators for Heart of Texas Contemplative Outreach, is here. David, are you here? There he is. If you'd like to volunteer to help, volunteers are needed for that day, so you can touch base with David after service. Also, next Sunday is an opportunity to bring non-perishable food items. We'd take them to our local food bank, so you can bring them next Sunday, and you can drop them off near the kitchen as you come in. And also for the chant today, be sure to look at that. It's in the insert. Rusty and Sue have written that, so it's a new chant you'd want to follow along as we sing. And if this is your first time to the Church of Conscious Harmony, I won't ask you to stand. But I look forward to meeting you, and someone can greet you and chat with you after the service across the bridge. There's a welcome table, and we'd love to visit. That's all the announcements I have. Let's take a moment in the silence. Ask the Holy Spirit to bless us today in worship. What's occurring in your life where you need to be reminded of God's presence? Where is there friction that's needing forgiveness or grace? Amen.
Please join in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit.
Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Come and pray in us. Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Spirit, come. Spirit, come. Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Come. Pray.
Let's stand and join in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love." Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother, we are in awe of your goodness toward us to experience the company of your presence and community like this. We thank you for this day of worship. We thank you for the influences of beauty, of sanctuary, of music, of prayers, of wisdom, of readings. Touch our hearts deeply. Help us to grow and evolve in you and your love. Send us home changed and transformed, never the same, deeper into your love. And bless those who are unable to be with us. We especially remember Father Thomas and Abbot Joseph at Snowmass and all who have gathered to be with them this weekend. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Word, imminent Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Please join with me in listening for God's Word. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
That's my wife. Very grateful and very blessed. It's great to see each of you today. For those of you who are here for the first time in a while, we've been starting a sermon series for the last 2 weeks. And the first week we considered the importance of will and desire. And we talked about how significant it is for each of us to have clean wills coming from our emotions, to, as it were, tune up that engine. Will is like our engine. Then last week we talked about the importance of setting our aims or making our aims. So to continue the analogy, if will is our engine, if desire is our engine, aim is our navigation system. And these two dovetail very importantly together. We need our desire. And we need our desire to be tuned up into God from healthy emotions, not negative emotions. And then to set that aim for our lives, so important. And so these two dynamics, these two choices are really truths that we can live by. And today we're going to focus on a condition that all of us experience, and that is we have our desires, we make our aims, we make our wishes, and then we experience resistance to our desires and resistance to our aims. And to experience resistance is in many ways to be human. So we need to anticipate the resistance that comes along. We need to learn how to respond to that resistance in our life more wisely so that we don't end up corroding ourselves or hurting ourselves more than we need to, and more importantly, that we don't end up hurting other people along the way, which is so typical. When someone says no, we try and make that a yes, and that is oftentimes a mess. Well, so continuing the car analogy, resistance is the shut door, the red light, the locked door, and the lost keys. Resistance happens. And you can just picture Austin traffic with all of the congestion. It's an example of the resistance that happens. People want to go in the same direction, they want to go to the same place or the same area, and resistance happens for everyone. It's very, very normal. Well, today I've got 4 points for you to hold on to in your heads, and hopefully this is a useful teaching device. The first is that resistance is. The second is that resistance is required. The third is that resistance is revealing. And the fourth is responding to resistance. And just a heads up, I'm going to invite your wisdom for that fourth one from the floor. So many of you have had lots of experience of responding to resistance. Well, the work of Inner Christianity, which is a huge foundation here at this community, as so many of you know, for me, the work of Inner Christianity, I've been a pastor and a Christian all my life, pastor for about 24 years, and reading the scriptures and being a pastor was like watching a small black and white television sometimes. And when I came into contact with the ideas of the work, it was like I got a flat screen color TV. And the scriptures and my training in theology and reading just came to life in such a wonderful, practical, really personal way. I owe the work so much. It really saved me from myself. Jesus saved me from my sins, but the work saved me from myself. I'm telling you. So we have some terminology that many of us know, and it's not like it's a secret club. This knowledge is out there, and different language, different terms are used in different communities and different traditions around the world to speak of the same conditions that we're all experiencing and under on this planet. So you'll hear a few words. One is what the work calls the law of three. The law of three. And if you don't like the word law, you can say the three conditions which this planet, perhaps the universe, and certainly we as humans on this planet find ourselves under. We are under these conditions. And the work teaches that every single thing that happens, every manifestation, every event incorporates all three of these forces, all three of these conditions. Here's how the work talks about it. First force is active. Second force is resisting. Third force is neutralizing or reconciling. These three forces are present in everything that happens in your life, in my life, and on this planet. Whether or not we can recognize all three is a different matter. We can certainly always recognize at least two, active and denying. Well, here are a couple other ways of talking about these three forces, these three conditions. And these are ways in which I think all of us can connect in our day-to-day life. Innocent, guilty, mercy. There's a big swing between innocence and guilt. And in our relationships, we like to make people guilty. You've done me wrong. And it's a big swing. It's a long trip to, I forgive you, you're innocent. But in between is this beautiful thing that draws the opposites together called mercy. Mercy kisses the opposites and brings them together. Yes. No. Nine. Yet. Notice how the word for no is very constricting. In almost every language around the globe, it's a constricting noise. In every language around the globe, yes is this, yes, open. It's very interesting. Yes, no, perhaps, wonder. Desire, resistance, mediation. Oh, those of you who have gone through divorces know, I want the house, no, I want the house. Mediation. Bulldoze it. Holy the affirming, holy the denying, holy the reconciling. Okay, so I'm not making this stuff up. This concept resonates, we all understand in our day-to-day life. And it's really quite extensive in the tradition, in different traditions as you go out there and read the different traditions. Different communities have different words for it. These are the words of Pyotr Uspensky, one of Mr. Gurdjieff's primary students, certainly, who codified much of Gurdjieff's teaching in written form. And this is a wonderful book called In Search of the Miraculous. And this is from page 77. And this is how Mr. Uspensky teaches on the Law of Three, and in particular, this idea of the three forces and the second force, that resistance. We must examine the fundamental law that creates all phenomena in the diversity or unity of all universes. This is the law of three, or the law of the three principles, or the law of three forces. It consists of the fact that every phenomena, on whatever scale and in whatever world it may take place, from molecular to cosmic phenomena, is the result of the combination or the meeting of three different opposing forces. Contemporary thought realizes the existence of two forces and the necessity of these two forces for the production of a phenomena: force and resistance, positive and negative magnetism, positive and negative electricity, male and female cells, and so on. The teaching of the three forces is at the root of all ancient systems. The first force may be called active or positive, the second passive or negative, the third neutralizing. But these are merely names, for in reality, all three forces are equally active and appear as active, passive, and neutralizing only at their meeting points. That is to say, only in relation to one another at a given moment. The first two forces are more or less comprehensible to us, but the third force may sometimes be discovered either at the point of application of the forces, or in the medium, or in the result, or after the fact. But speaking in general, the third force is not easily accessible to direct observation and understanding. So the real question is, what is your third force? Where are you meeting your resistance with third force, and how is third force coming to the neutralization of the resistance and your desire and that conflict? It's a really wonderful question to ask yourself. How am I meeting the world where my desires and its resistance come to bear? How am I responding to that situation? Well, as is so often the case in this business, what I am sharing on a Sunday comes up in my life that week. And last night, I had a very clear desire to be asleep, not just in bed, asleep by 9 o'clock. Now, we have a wonderful little dog, a Bichon Poodle, who is the most adorable, wonderful little creature. She is pure love. And normally, we go to the bathroom outside, come into bed, she snuggles a little bit, and then she sleeps at our feet. Really wonderful pattern every night. So I'm trying to sleep at 9 o'clock. And little Emma needs to play with her wiener dog toy. You know, Uspensky can be pretty serious, so this is Emma's teaching now. Her little desire was not for sleep. Her little desire was for squeaking. So here I am at 9 o'clock, awakened by this little precious dog that I love more than I love myself, in a way. Now, I know all the moms and dads in the room are saying, "That's nothing, Peter." But so my desire is for sleep. Emma's desire is for squeaking. What's the third force? What's the reconciling force? Peanut butter. Peanut butter. It's a very silly and lighthearted example that helps us realize that in this very room, we are second force attractors. Because this is a room full of human beings, and each of you has a desire or multiple desires, multiple aims. So can we have the honesty to say where I am being resisted? Where are you being resisted? Where is life pushing back at you? Where is your body resisting health? Where is your fear resisting courage? Where is your hatred resisting love? Where is your anger rising and resisting peace? Where is your anxiety occurring and resisting at easeness and trust? It's a really ordinary, common thing to experience the power of resistance coming up in our lives. It's an edge, like turbulence, that leading edge of a plane, like turbulence. And the closer you come to that edge between the two forces, between the two conditions, between the two things, it intensifies. And it can get so intense, apparently at a cosmic level, it can cause all sorts of disruptions on the planet in our systems of life. In fact, this is one of the reasons the work says wars occur. This inexplicable friction that results of these forces causing human beings to act out with insanity. From the biggest things happening in the universe to the smallest things like Emma and me, to our fears, to our concerns, to our desires, hopes and dreams, our purposes, resistance is really present. So this gets to the point, the fact that resistance is with us and it is actually required for our growth. Imagine if the city of Austin didn't have any red lights or yellow lights and all there were green lights. Imagine the chaos. Resistance is required. Maurice Nichols says that imagine if the oceans and all the fish in the oceans never got sick or died, they only had babies. Imagine how quickly the oceans would fill up with fish. There'd be no more water. It'd just be fish. Resistance is required. The real issue becomes, how do we skillfully use our seasons, events, moments, situations of resistance? What if there were no gravity? We'd all float up. There'd be no condition on planet Earth to function. What if there were no laws holding us in check? There'd be chaos. Resistance is required. And this beautiful gift of resistance has taught me that the hardest times in my life produce the juiciest fruits. And that looking back at my life, if I had to erase the hard resisting times, I wouldn't be here and my life would be so much the poorer. As hard as those seasons and moments and experiences of resistance are, I'm so grateful for them. And that's one of the reasons why we need one another, because we're not always experiencing resistance at the same time. And when you're experiencing resistance, Come and talk to someone. Share that. And they may not be experiencing resistance. They might be a useful third force to you, a way of seeing forward through the resistance. It's a really wonderful thing to realize in this situation that you think is your enemy as resistance, that you wish could just be done away with. Get away from me, resistance. It's amazing to see that perhaps it's the very thing you need as a condition for your evolution, growth, and transformation in wisdom and love and all the fruit of the Spirit. One of the most powerful examples of the important role, the necessary role resistance plays, is during the civil rights marches. And I can think of no more visceral example of second force of resistance than the water hoses that were used. First force, desire, were these beautiful human beings marching and walking for values like justice and equality, peacefully walking, peacefully sitting, not drawing second force other than just being there. But the system didn't like it, and the water hoses come out, pure second force. It's a great example because second force is always pressurized. It's coming from somewhere. It's like the high pressure and the low pressure, and it causes the wind. And Jesus says, you don't know where the wind's coming. It's like the Spirit. You just don't know. So you ask for the Holy Spirit to show up and mediate between those two pressures. And I think that the beautiful fruit that came from those marches of the innocents taking a stand, bearing the second force with their bodies, and the sacrifice that was required of, in particular, one man, like a scapegoat, absorbing that second force with his death. It's a beautiful indication of what that cross is all about. That second force is required. We're looking at that. That second force. That's the resistance of the world to love. It's the resistance of the world system to evolution, to saying, the way you're doing this isn't working. I stand, as it were, as a witness to a different way, the way of forgiveness and love and wisdom, the way of not seeking glory and power, the way of surrender. So resistance is required even to the point of praying with agony such that he bled tears of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Confronting the resistance and saying, I'd rather not, Lord. Almighty God, I'd rather not take this path. But not my will, thy will. Third force. Got him out of that bind. The miracle of prayer, the miracle of grace coming in. Well, resistance is not only required, it's also very, very revealing about who we are and what we're interested in our being. It really reveals how much you desire and what you desire and what you're aiming at. How much do you really want that? How strong is that will or that desire for whatever it is? How clear are you on that aim? It's just wonderful, you know, think about the New Year's resolutions. Make this resolution, come along the resistance. How clear are you on that resolution? It reveals your truth. It reveals the depth of your realness. And it polishes you up at the same time. It can, anyway. Last night, my level of reactivity to that sweet little Emma revealed something about me that I did not want to see. My anger that clicked on, I didn't know I felt that way. I didn't know I could be wound that tight. That my sleep was more important than her fun. We'd been away most of the day. And Shannon so sweetly, honestly, in the sweetest voice, she says to me, honey, what is your resistance revealing? We had been talking about this conversation about resistance, and it was so clear to me. It was so humbling. And I'm looking at my sister-in-law who gave the winner dog to Emma. And it was revealing a sense of resentment. Who gives a squeaky toy? It was revealing a sense of irritation and anger. And I wanted to grab Emma by the mane and control her. I was astounded by the switch of my adoration and love and sweetness for little Emma. And because something resisted me and my comfort and my plan, toward an innocent little animal, scale. That's happening in the minister's home. What's happening in this world when you insert drugs and alcohol and money and deals and sex and hatred and tribes and nations and sickness and disease? You can see why we're in the state of affairs we are. And how blessed we are to wake up in the moment and call upon a different third force to heal, to reconcile, to mediate. Shannon's sweet voice called me out of my anger. And it was transformed into an illustration. Jesus, that scripture that Shannon read, what we have with the Gospel of Mark is just a launching of Jesus' ministry. It, The Gospel of Mark is the gospel on speed. It just goes, takes off. He's just baptized and he's doing miracles right away. Chapter 1, boom. He's healing people. He's casting out the energies that run on people's systems like parasites. The Bible calls them demons. It's not necessarily paranormal. It's the anger that ran on me. It's the parasites that run on our inner states. They're not loving oftentimes. They do not wish for our good. Anyway, he starts this beautiful healing ministry, and all of a sudden, he starts getting famous. CNN and everyone else is at the door wanting an interview, and the crowds are showing up, and he's quickly experiencing big healing revivals, and people are coming to him. And so this is chapter 1. Well, it doesn't take long for second force to show up, and Jesus realizes he has to adjust his strategy because he's all of a sudden super successful, super famous in that region. The crowds are streaming, and don't you know it, there's the beautiful first force and here comes the second force. In Mark chapter 2, verse 6, just a few verses after the story we heard read today, we begin to see the second force rising like a pot of water starting to boil. First it gets warm, and then it starts to get intense, and then it starts boiling over. Listen, in Mark chapter 2, verse 6, some scribes show up. They follow the crowd. Some scribes, which are basically a religious scholar, someone who has official authority in the religious community. It's like one of the elders shows up, or a board member shows up. What's going on here, Peter? And they ask a question. They ask a question. It's just a question. No big deal. Just a question. But notice how it intensifies. 10 verses later in chapter 2, verse 16, the scribes bring the Pharisees as well, who are a higher level than the scribes. Pharisees are kind of like, you might say, the professors at the seminary, so to speak. These are the authorities. Scribes bring the Pharisees. And the scribes and the Pharisees, I'm not making this up, read chapter 2, verse 16. They start to then they don't just question, they start to criticize Jesus. So it intensifies from a question to a criticism. And then, one chapter later, chapter 3, verse 6, the Pharisees huddle up after one of these encounters. And this is what the text says. They conspire to destroy him. From questions to criticism to destruction. Now don't think it's just here in the Bible. Have you ever noticed your second force to someone? Starts with the irritation and a question. Oh, I don't know if I like that. Don't know if I agree with that. Moves to a criticism. You know, you should really do it differently. You know, you could do that so much better. You could say it this way. Your job really, you're just kind of tentative there. And then, I don't even want to know you. You're fired. I want you out of here. I want a divorce. It starts that way. The second force in all our lives. Jesus, if we were to continue the readings, which we will in the next couple of weeks, but what you'll see is that Jesus responds to the second force by going inward. All of a sudden, in the text, he starts waking up really early in the morning and going and disappearing to pray. All of a sudden, he goes out into his places of solitude. And so his third force becomes a deepening connection with Abba. And isn't that the case that the more we experience second force in our life, it turns us onto our knees? It humbles us to ask for help. That may be the first time we've ever asked for help and we've been humbled by some sort of second force that hit us like a bus, unexpectedly. So the contemplative invitation is the gift of returning to the inwardness, the silence, the solitude, which is like a container, a big womb that welcomes us from the world of resistance and says, come home, be at peace. Be restored. Don't react. Lengthen the fuse. Shift your thoughts. Just let them go. Consent. You don't need to solve anything. Just let them be. It's the practice of a lifetime. The contemplative dimension of the welcoming prayer, the contemplative dimension of the centering prayer. It's a practice of a lifetime of rediscovering third force to meet our second force. Well, I said that I wanted to hear the wisdom of this community, and this is the opportunity to do that. Some of you experienced massive second force in your life, and we're only going to take a few moments to hear if someone would wish to share how you've responded to second force in your life. Don't be afraid, we're all just human. Jack.
I was at a 10-day silent retreat at Lama, and I'd taken a suitcase full of cedar pollen with me, it seems. So I was coughing and hacking through the whole first 2 days. I was in a common room, and a lady came right up into my face and said, "You're ruining my retreat! You know, can't you be quiet?" I mean, she was livid, and I wanted to greet the second force with my own. You know, yeah. I was going to teach her, "Don't you know about external considering? And can't you bear the unpleasant manifestations of others?" And just as my mouth was opening, my third force came in the form of a conversation I had had with my dad prior to his death. He was in the hospital, and he was lamenting that they were making him go twee, twee, to strengthen up the muscles in his throat so he wouldn't be swallowing his Coke. And I went, "I've got a new sacred word." So I didn't respond to her, and I wasn't doing it audibly, but you can go. And miraculously, my cough almost immediately subsided. And that was a better path than the original worldly yes. path I wanted to take.
Thank you for sharing, Jack. Tweet. Well, so many. We'll go to Pascal and then Jackie.
Hi, I was reminded of Newton's third law, where you know every action has having an equal and opposite reaction, and when I come up against that second force, it seems like my sort of reflexive response is to apply more of my own force, and then I get the same right back, right. Equal and opposite, right? And I was moved this morning in Lexio, and then again by the reading of the same scripture from Mark. And what I heard was the man saying who has this unclean spirit, which I equate to these reflexive thoughts of anger and resentment and fear responses like you described with the dog, like immediately wanting to control the and he says, "I know what you're trying to do, holy man. You're trying to take our will away." And it's like, no, we're not trying to take your will away. Just quiet, just give it some space. And if in that space, I find I'm able to, ask for whatever the next right thing to do is. When I'm graced with that information, if it's the peanut butter, like if I'm just spinning my wheels trying to figure it out, peanut butter isn't going to occur to me. But if I give it some space. And then afterwards, it seems, I can look back and see that this sort of Zen thing happened where the next right thing just did itself. And I didn't even have to apply that much will to the system. It just sort of happened naturally. I wish I could be more specific, but that seems how it's been for me.
Thank you, Pascal. Jackie, and I think we'll need to conclude with you.
Like Pasquale, I am often my own worst second force. And my childhood was like that. I was really angry and resentful because I was powerless and I was going to meet power with power, but I had no power. And so after years and years, finally I came to this place and I learned about calculating second force in the work. And you can do that if you anticipate something coming up. There are times when we just get hit across the head with something that we don't expect. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest lesson I've had was a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, when I got laid off from work. And things were going bad at this place that I worked at. And fortunately, I was able to start pondering what is about to happen here. I didn't think it was going to happen to me, but I realized I had tools and I could turn this over and turn this over to the Holy Spirit and to some degree prepare myself. And I did that over a weekend, not really thinking anything in particular was going to happen to me. And I walk into work and I'm praying. That was my entree. That was my means of self-remembering. This is not I. This is a person in a workplace that's in disturbance. I can be awake. I can be prepared. And my boss walks into my office and says, can we go meet somewhere? It didn't occur to me what was happening. But I just said, yes, this is interesting. Some part of me said, this is interesting. And I very positively followed her into a room and recognized the head of human resources was sitting there. I looked down at papers. I could see my name on these papers. And there was this voice going, the shit is about to hit the fan. Truly. And yet, I had calculated second force and had turned it over. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit took me up where I was looking down at myself and others in the room. And they kept reading this, we're laying people off and we hate to see you go. And my boss was crying through the whole thing. I really like this person, love this person. And I just kept saying, oh wow, because it was so amazing. I had inner separation from what was happening. I knew the Holy Spirit had my back. That whatever this was for me, because the big events in my life that looked like a disaster always have ended up being the best thing for me. And I had faith that this was going to be just like that. I didn't talk back to anybody, and I'm fully capable of doing that. I wanted to hear what was happening. I wanted to be totally present. I mean, the lawyer hat didn't go away. But I had faith that this was in everybody's best interest, that somehow I could do this as a representative for others in a much more conscious way, and all was well. And it was. I got laid off. And the terror of the situation would come and go, but I always knew that this was going to lead me where I needed to go and grow me in a way that I never would have invited upon myself. But it was best for everybody. And to this day, I still care for my boss and recognize things were happening the only way they could. She didn't do that to me, or they didn't do that to me. And beautifully, Jack doesn't go along with that. He's pissed off still. But it was... Well, isn't that sweet? But for me, it was an amazing change that I simply have to always have faith that all is well, whatever it looks like.
Thank you, Jackie. And thank you, Jack and Pascal, for your sharing. We learn different things from each other. And this is a community of learning and growing. And life events come up, and we have the opportunity to not identify with them, to calculate second force, which is a wonderful gift. Well, next week we'll begin to look at one of the reasons why we need to calculate second force is because we need to manage our multiplicity. And the reality is that we're not always desiring the same thing or aiming at the same thing. And we'll look at strategies for deepening our understanding of ourself. I thank you for your listening and for receiving these ideas. They've been useful and transformative in my life, and we look forward to growing together as a community. Let's stand and give our hearts together in song.
when the road is rough and the way is steep. When the road is rough and the way is steep, Lord, help me to wish thee. Lord, help me to wish thee. When the road is rough and the way is steep. When the road is rough and the way is steep. Lord, help me to wish thee.
Holy Spirit of God, be our neutralizing force when the way is rough. Fill our spirits with your grace to respond. Heal our negative emotions. Fill us with joy to meet the world as people of faith, not fear. And bless every single person who hears this and every single relationship that deals with this. And bless this world, Lord, that thy kingdom will come. We ask this in and through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today is an important day in the life of our community for our annual AIM. In front of me and in front of you is the collection of our combined intentions for our annual AIM. This is a box of first force. So second force is coming. Some of you on your intention cards have checked off different things. And this annual AIM process is a way for all of us to participate, and indeed, if you haven't yet participated, I encourage you to do so. Cards are available afterward. And this is the invitation. You are invited to join in community, to participate in intention and will to God, to renew your commitment to evolving as Christ, which is our annual aim for 2018, and to move ever deeper together as a community of intention, practice, and devotion. And on this wish card, there are different things, like, I wish to deepen my relationship with God through a twice daily centering prayer practice, the daily reading of Scripture, the daily reading of the work of inner Christianity, daily conscious movement, small group participation, commitment to attending centering prayer retreats, Seva group and Yes program participation, tithing, regular attendance at Sunday services, and participation in the 10th man school. Wonderful practices and aims to place oneself under their authority, a rule of life. Some of you mark participation in the 10th man school. And just so some of us are aware of what that means, it means that these people are committing themselves to live under a rule of life as active participants in an intentional community that includes all three lines of the work. Work on oneself, work with each other, and work for the sake of work itself. And the daily practice or the daily rule includes very many of the same things I just read. So two streams here. Those of you who are saying yes to this deeper participation in this gathering of intention called 10th Man School, and those of you who have selected different practices to partake in this year. Whatever your intention was, it is good, and we wish to dedicate it unto the Lord and dedicate it to the power of flourishing you deeper into the love of God. So would you join with me in outstretching your arms? You're not only wishing for yourself, but you're wishing for your brothers and sisters in this community that we would be stronger together than apart, and that our combined aim would do something in our lives and in this community and in this city and in our world, that it would truly radiate out, not in great works or miracles that CNN would show up, but that it would radiate with such quality of being in us that people would feel the difference and wonder, feel the fragrance of Christ. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of God Almighty, in the name of all the prophets and priests and all the holy ones, past, present, and to come, we dedicate these consecration of aims and intentions for the fullest possible flourishing and radiance of love and wisdom in our lives, in this community, and on this planet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it be so. And all God's people said, Amen. This is the time in our service where we take our tangible energy called money, our tithes, our offerings, our gifts, and we offer it to the Lord through this church as a sense of releasing it to become love through this community. We give remembering the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs, all our needs. Therefore, I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's say that together. God's love has always met, always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. rededicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and the lives of our loved ones on this planet. May this keep us from uselessly acting out from fear and the lie of separation. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
God's love is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's love is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's peace is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's peace is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's joy is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's joy is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's light is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul. God's light is deep within me, ever satisfying my soul.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We come to the table where we discover the greatest absorbing quality of all second force possible. The bread and the cup absorb all resistance, neutralizing them. And as we partake in this communion, this quality of absorption enters into our being and bodies and helps us grow and develop. Please join me in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Whenever you eat of this, remember me." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. I'm very grateful to the Eucharist team week after week that prepares this. They serve us so deeply and from such a center. I am in awe. Let's stand and conclude our service with Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved my soul. I feel
blessed that you made the choice to be here this morning. Thank you for your presence. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the presence and peace of the Holy Spirit help you meet any resistance you encounter in the next moment, the next day, or until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.